This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Panthers take it back at the blue line after the draw in their own zone. Very quickly, here's Tkachuk. Shot, save, rebound, scores! For Hagee in front of the net, and as soon as that rush started, you could feel the Sabres might be in trouble with the speed coming back by Florida. They're up 3-2 now with 3:16 to go in the second.
Carter Verhaeghe answering after Buffalo scored twice in the second, putting Florida back in front for good. That's your game winner, and it's our goal of the game tonight, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you back to KeyBank Center here in the press box. Brian Colsey along with Pat Malacaro. Paul Hamilton's down in the Sabres dressing room area. We will hear from the players coming up here in just a moment. The Sabres had some good moments in the second period as they scored two goals in a minute 52 to tie it up, but some breakdowns and some bad penalties for sure. Florida scoring twice on the power play. And a very good team, getting some good players back as well. Barkov back in the lineup as well. Tkachuk back in the lineup. And the Panthers win it by a 5-2 score. These two teams have now split the season series. The Sabres won't play again until Friday at home against the New York Islanders. Pat, I felt like the Sabres at times got to it, using Rob Ray's statement, got to their game. There were some definite times where they were off, and they took some poor penalties against a team that can bury you on the power play.
Yeah, that third period, Florida really just kind of didn't give the Sabres any space. Even though over those first couple of minutes, they were happy with just playing for the whistle, letting the game kind of not get any flow in the third, and I feel like it frustrated the Sabres. We saw it with Peyton Krebs taking a penalty. Now he was let off the hook by a Florida Panthers player as well, but he takes a slashing penalty, negating offsetting penalties, but then you see Dahlin take the penalty, and it just felt like that third period the Sabres just were completely frustrated about what Florida wanted to do.
Yeah, Dahlin takes the penalty that really, really did them in. More on that in a moment. Jason Zucker up first, live with Paul in the locker room.
Jason, you guys worked hard to get back into the game. What happened at where you let it get away at the end?
Yeah, I think we got to be a little bit better staying out of the box. Give a team like that enough power plays, they're going to capitalize on their opportunities. But overall, I think our effort was there. We just too many mental mistakes, giving them chances in the middle of the slot. You know, Upi bailed us out time and time again. But, you know, you got to try to limit those chances as much as you can.
Is that an important lesson for the group that, I mean, if you're going to beat a team like that, that you got to play a lot cleaner?
Yeah, I think it was a little sloppy overall. But, you know, I think we showed that we can play with them, you know, and that's a huge part of it, but we can't be satisfied with that either. You know, we lost the game and, you know, arguably did it to ourselves. So we got to kind of regroup here. We got a couple of days to regroup, spend a little bit of time, and get back after it.
What allowed you to get back into that game?
I think we just started getting pucks behind their D, started getting on the forecheck, getting pucks back. We kept it simple. I think when we play simple, we play straight ahead. We've had a lot of success this year. When we start trying to be a little fancy, we're not tracking back enough, giving up odd man rushes. That's been unlike us this year, and tonight we did a lot of those things.
Even though you guys were down 2-0, did you feel good about the way you started that game?
I thought our start was great. Yeah, I thought our start was great. We came out strong. We were playing really well, but then, we got into some power play trouble. Some penalty trouble, and gave them those power plays. They got some chances and capitalized. So we got to clean that up.
What has given the power play some success these last couple, even maybe beyond the goals?
It's simplicity, shooting pucks. I think we've had a shooting mentality. If you look at our goal, last game, I think we had 6 or 7 shots or, opportunities, puck recoveries. Tonight, it started off of a shot. JJ had a great jump off the faceoff. We lose that faceoff, and he does a heck of a job getting that puck back for us. It's a shooting mentality and, a lucky whack, and the puck goes in. But, I think it's starting with simplicity, getting pucks on net, and winning those battles, getting pucks back.
And even the next power play, don't score, but you have 4 or 5 good chances, just building momentum on it even when you don't score.
Yeah, again, it started with simplicity. We had to rim the puck 4, 5, 6 times. They're a very aggressive pressure penalty kill, and it's tough to beat that pressure sometimes, but I thought we did a pretty good job of that. But then before we had a couple chances, Tomer, had an unbelievable individual effort in the corner to keep a puck alive, and those things are what lead to success on power plays.
Thanks, Jason. Yep. Jason Zucker on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Zucker getting his second power play goal in as many games, his second as a Sabre. That opened the scoring. And we go right back to the room. Here's Rasmus Dahlin live.
Rasmus, simply too many penalties. I mean, we can even point with 7 minutes left. You guys are only down by a goal, and you took one. Is it just too many penalties?
Yeah. Got to blame myself on that one. It's a game of inches, and they were smarter than we were. Tough penalty at the end there. We had a chance to come back, but stupid play.
What got you back in the hockey game?
Our swagger. We got all the skill and all the stuff we need. We pushed back and we came back, and then some easy stuff. They were a little bit smarter than us today.
You guys on a couple of the goals against, it looked like you guys, two guys went to one, and at least two goals I can think of, and then left another guy wide open for a goal. It's not something I've seen you guys do all that often this year.
No. I mean, you maybe it was... it was an intense game. You want to finish your check. You want to finish your guy. Maybe too much today. Too many mistakes. I think.
What has helped the power play these last couple of games, even beyond the goals? It's looked a lot better.
Simplicity. We keep it simple. We rim it. We don't force stuff, and entries are good, so it's a little bit of everything. And it was unfortunate we couldn't score in the power play. We had a ton of chances today.
As a deep, you guys have been aggressive shooting the puck, even going back to last season. But just the amount of traffic you guys are getting in front of the net, I mean, how much is it just creating chaos and just leading to some of the success in the offensive zone?
It's really good. I think every time we get the puck to the net, it's a dangerous scoring chance. And we could have had. Couple more goals today, but it is what it is, and it was a tight game, and you can't take a penalty like that. I did, and I think we played good most of the times. So it was just some individual stuff.
You worked to get that goal. Is that something now that can get you going a little bit now that you've seen the puck at the back of the net?
I mean, there's goals are coming, goals are not going in. Sometimes you just out of this, and you just got to keep working hard every day.
Thanks, Rasmus. Rasmus Dahlin on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Dahlin's the other Buffalo goal scorer. He did get off the Schneid Pat with his first of the season. That was a good play from Dahlin, for sure. He looked like his old self there.
He really did, and he thought that might have been a catalyst for the Sabres to maybe find that third goal in the game, but it was Florida who answered back with the Verhaeghe goal.
Yeah, so Dahlin scoring. We're going to get the Sabre highlights in from these two goals here in just one moment. But, Verhaeghe answering back after the pair of Sabre goals. And then in the third, Buffalo just, it seemed like, chasing Florida around. The couple of penalties, Krebs gets one then, Dahlin gets one. It leads to a power play goal for Bennett. And it was only 3-2 at that point. So, I mean, Dahlin is right. I think the point is right that you've got to get on your captain there. You cannot take a penalty when it's 3-2. If it's 5-2 and you want to let your frustrations out, like, all right, whatever, you can maybe forgive it. But it's 3-2, like, with plenty of time left. Let's see, that penalty occurs at 13 minutes. There's 7 minutes to go. So, I mean, that's – and then, when Bennett scores a minute 35 into that extra power play session there, now it's over. Now it's 4-2, and it felt over for sure. All right, let's get you to a couple of highlights. As we mentioned, the Sabres down 2-0 after the first, Boqvist and Reinhart scoring goals. We go to the second, and here's where Buffalo finally breaks through. They're on the power play, and the second power play goal in as many games at the 10:45 mark. Thompson's shot deflected home by Jason Zucker.
Thompson, quick shot, rebound, scores! Right at the post! Zucker! Sabres on the board, trailing 2-1.
No, 10:45 mark of the second. Zucker's second in as many games. Thompson and Paterka set him up. Power play goal for the Sabres made it 2-1. And then just a minute 52 later, this is where we really could feel the building kind of shifting, like, hey, maybe Buffalo's going to turn this game around here. Dahlin going to the net, his first of the year, ties it at 2.
Power at the line, keeps it in, slides it across to the net. Well, the Jets scores! That was a delicious finish by the captain. Rasmus Dahlin ties the game at 2.
Yeah, Dahlin going to the net, a nice deke and then a drive going in. It deflects off Bobrovsky and in. Power assists at 12:37. And Power had two more opportunities in that period. Thompson set him up. Saved by Bobrovsky on a real, wide-open cross-ice pass. Couldn't get it up, though, over the pad. And then after Verhaeghe scored to make it 3-2, he went to the net, Power did, and just couldn't lift the puck up again. Heading to the third, and then Buffalo kind of gets in that power play, that penalty trouble. And Bennett ends up putting it away at 4-2 on the power play. Barkov at the end to make it a 5-2 margin. So there's a couple of more highlights there. Let's talk injury report next, because the Sabres got Nicholas Obey-Cobell back tonight. He played so far in this one. Let's get the final stat line here as we can update it. But he came back, played on the second line tonight with Cousins and with Quinn, and shows some bursts of speed. Did have an opportunity to score opening the second period. He actually, it was in some sense similar to the chance he had in Prague. I would say the chance he had in Prague was much better. But this one, he was in the crease area. There was a rebound. It would have been maybe a little tougher of a play, but he wasn't able to score. See, my computer here not helping me out here. Trying to get you the final stat line on what Kubel did. But, yeah, he came back tonight. Kubel ends up tonight playing 7-19. One shot, five shot attempts, a minus one on 10 shifts. So there's Obey-Cobell coming back here. But did show us a couple of bursts of speed. He's back. To make room for him, Benson went on the injured reserve. So that's how that lineup change affected tonight's game. And our injury report is brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph's Campus. Go with Joe's. Here's Lindy Ruff, now live.
Definitely hurt us, for sure. I think we took the first three or whatever it was. Gave them some momentum, for sure. Late one really hurt us. So penalties were definitely a factor in the game.
How's it done? What'd you think of the way that the group reacted when you're down 2-0? I mean, you had a good start, but two mistakes. Yeah, you're behind the eight ball then.
Yeah, you can say we had a good start, but we gave them odd-numbered rushes. We missed our assignments, and you give a team like that, they made us pay dearly. Talked about odd-numbered rushes. If you're going to hand a team that's just Stanley Cup champions odd-numbered rushes, you're going to pay dearly, and they made us pay. That's on us.
Coach, how's your confidence in Luukkonen to make the big save in the right moment?
Our goalie's been good for us. He wasn't the guy that got caught up ice. Abe missed his first assignment, which allowed their guy the 2-1. Just, I think, a little bit of rust in him. You know, we wanted to try to set the tone in our building and make sure we got above the right guys. We got above, but we let a guy beat us up ice, and that cost us dearly right off the bat. So I know being out, no excuse. On the first power play?
I think, did you switch Tage and Dylan?
Oh, well, just a little bit of motion. That's all. Nothing really changed, just a little bit of motion. And the other night, we were running to our spot too quickly. Like, Tage had the one half wall, and JJ went behind him, and we were, you know, eliminated a scoring chance for us. So, you know, for a moment in time, when you're on the power play, you have to be a little bit universal. And there was a lot of things I liked about our power play tonight. I mean, the game was 3-2, and Cousin was point-blank twice in front of the net. JJ had a one-timer. We got a couple key retrievals. We won face-offs. We had the opportunity. We didn't make them pay for that penalty, where they could have been upset with the penalties they were taken to.
Is there ever a situation where two defensemen can be behind the net just twice?
No, yeah. No. I'm just telling you, you make those mistakes on the first kill. It was just a careless gamble that hurt us dearly. I mean, against a really good player. So, got to clean up those mistakes.
That's not something that your team has been doing, because you had a goal later on where Tage went to a guy that was covered too and left another one open. He got the rebound and scored. And I haven't seen you guys do that all that often.
No. Our track defense has been good. The goal you're talking about, you're exactly right. Tage just needed to stay off the goalie's backside, stay in that wide lane. You know, it was a little bit of a tough break because it was a 4-2, but a 4-2 you have to defend by just staying in the middle and picking up that wide lane. And our goalie made the first save. There wasn't a lot he could do. It went off of him and went off the other guy and stayed right there. So the only help he could have got is from our backside forward.
Lindy Rez was pretty hard on himself in the locker room on that penalty. Is that a conversation you need to have with your captain, or can you trust
him? I think he's great at – he's self-addressed his own game. And I think what we've talked about and what we talked about start of the year, accountability. I think you just saw accountability. It doesn't need me. I think that's what any good leader will do. Just say, wasn't good enough, I need to be better, and let's move on. We've been going good. We've got some good stuff that's starting to happen. We had a chance to beat a good team. It was right there. And, you know, we just weren't good enough to get it done.
Do you think it was some of the energy
No, I think if you look at the start of the game, if I could eliminate those odd number rushes, because look at their game. Did we have any 2-on-1s? No. So a good team, I mean, they know that we're a good rush team. They had people back. They made sure that they weren't going to allow us to come up ice and make two or three plays and beat them. So you've got to understand that game probably has to stay 2-2. You know, you look a little bit of, there's small details, better hold up on the faceoff on the third goal, just a hold up or get in front of somebody. A little bit of a tough break for JJ. I mean, you're looking at a guy that's getting the puck and you think he's going to make a play, but kind of got caught up in his feet and they took advantage of it. Thanks.
All right, there's Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. He's definitely not shying away from throwing out names tonight. The accountability, you wanted to hear it publicly? Well, you got it right there for sure. Lindy Ruff's post-game press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. We just mentioned Obe Cobell coming back. Said he missed his assignment right away. Said Darlene, it was a careless gamble when he went behind the net. So you wanted something different from the old coach there in terms of publicly telling you what players didn't do correctly tonight? Well, there you have it. If you wanted that as a refreshing change, right there, that's probably the most we've heard from Lindy so far after a loss this year. And I think part of it is that he's just annoyed because he felt like, look, the opportunity was there to beat a really good team tonight. And I would agree. The Sabres did not play their best game tonight. Some of their best players made careless mistakes and careless decisions and took bad penalties. But it was still right there for the taking, which I guess is also a good sign of progress and a good sign that maybe Lindy's raising the bar in terms of what is an acceptable standard and what is not. But he definitely was not shying away there from throwing guys out there in terms of saying who he was unhappy with, including the captain. All right, we'll take a timeout here and say goodbye to all the local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, or if you're listening on your way home from KeyBank Center, more postgame coming up. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton after this timeout. 5-2, Panthers beat the Sabres. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Great stop. He pushes out to meet for Hagee's shot. Panthers working back. Barkov, far post, tip tacks. That goes wide.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in there with your save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For all the great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 5-2 Florida victorious in front of 12,906 here at KeyBank Center. Buffalo will continue the homestand, but we are done with October. The Sabres finish 4-5-1 in the opening month of the year, just under 500 hockey. They'll open up November on the first Friday night against the New York Islanders, and then Saturday on the road in Detroit. Both those games are at 7 o'clock. Be sure to join us for the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 6 on Friday night before the Sabres and the Islanders. Paul Hamilton's take coming up on this game in just a moment, but let's grab a phone call here on the postgame. We go to Bob, who's with us on the air right now. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about the defense tonight for a minute. I was at the game. They've two things. It's been going on a few years. They're getting a little more physical, but the stick checking is just still so prominent. You know, we got some big boys on defense. Just put a body into someone. You don't got to kill them. Just knock them off the puck. And then along the same lines, they'll kind of be in position. You know, it's like a 2-on-2, 3-on-2, whatever. Not the end of the world. But they just back in so far. They're giving up shots from, you know, the faceoff dots. And it's like, that's a good shot for an NHL player. Eventually you got to move up and take the guy. And I don't know, you know, what it is, but they seem to be doing that a lot still. And it's early in the season, not a big deal with a, you know, starting lineup for the Panthers. I wasn't expecting a lot tonight, but it's like some of these things are kind of self-inflicted, and hopefully Lindy can get him moving the right way. And you know, I don't know, just positioning or physical or what have you, just a little sounder on defense, I think would help him out a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Bob, appreciate the call. Thanks for listening on your drive home tonight, by the way. If you're listening tonight, we appreciate your drive home on the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. Yeah, Lindy said some self-inflicted wounds, and he spoke multiple times a few minutes ago in his post-game press conference, if you're just tuning in, about giving up the odd man rushes. Florida, definitely dangerous. They can, you know, they got a lot of guys that can put the puck in the net. And he even mentioned, he's like, look, how many odd man rushes did Florida give up to us? Not that many, if any. So you could see he was annoyed by that. The self-inflicted wounds with the penalties, for sure. What he said about with Dahlin, he said, quote, a careless gamble. Him going behind the net on that Reinhardt goal when Florida was on the power play. So, yeah, a lot of it adds up to a 5-2 Florida win. Thanks for the call, Bob. Appreciate it. Let's go down to the media room and get Paul Hamilton's take. Paul, I sense that Lindy was annoyed at the result, more so not because Florida just beat them, but because he felt like they beat themselves maybe more so. And the opportunity to win, even when not playing a perfect night, was still there. And they kind of shut the door on themselves.
Absolutely they did. And what Bob was talking about, I think, was very prominent tonight. I wouldn't say it's a problem, though. Because it's not something we've seen, especially lately. I mean, they've been able to lock some games down. They've been able to defend very well in some of the games recently. So the Dallas game would be a perfect example of that. So I wouldn't say it's an overall problem, but definitely was a problem tonight. you know, I didn't think it was a good start at all. I agree with Lindy. When you're giving up three odd man rushes, it's not a good start. And Buffalo had eight shots, and how many of them were scoring chances? I don't think any of them were, to be quite honest with you. They were just shots that Bobrovsky easily handled. I thought they were skating well and stuff, but, you know, they were giving up the chances. And, you know, just the penalties again, something that has really been a problem for them. Now, the penalty kill had come in 8 of 8 in the last three games, a plus. They had given up a power play goal to Columbus on the first power play. Then the next two, they got them and did well. So that after, you know, they went 8 for 8, gave up a power play goal, and then killed another one. So they had gone 9 of 10. That's 90%. That's great. I mean, but you still can't take the penalties they take. That, you know, Rasmus Dahlin took responsibility for it. Jason Zucker talked about the penalties, and they were just dumb penalties. You cannot take a penalty with 7 minutes left like Rasmus Dahlin did. You know, just wheeling around, careless with the stick. You can't. That is just a stupid penalty, and he took responsibility for it. I'm not saying anything that he didn't say himself. You can't take a penalty down a goal with 7 minutes left to the Stanley Cup champions. You just can't. And, you know, the Panthers actually helped the Sabres out on another call that was going to come their way on Krebs.
Yep.
But the Panthers evened that off, and the Buffalo didn't wind up shorthanded. That also was in a bad spot there. So that, and something that I haven't seen much of this year, twice they gave up two goals because two guys went to cover one. One was Dahlin, you mentioned it, going behind the net with Barkov, leaving Reinhardt all by himself in front of the net. If Dahlin stays there, I don't care if it's a fantastic pass by Barkov. That doesn't get to Reinhardt because Dahlin will intercept it. And then later on, you know, in the third period, you know, the Verhaeghe goal, Thompson goes to his right. That man's already covered. He had Verhaeghe, and then he went to a guy. So now he had two Sabres on one. Well, furthers the shot. You know, Lukanen makes the save, and Verhaeghe standing right there by himself for the rebound. He's too good a goal scorer to give him that kind of a chance. And that's not something I've seen them do much. I can't say that's been a problem where you got the defense, two guys going to one, but there certainly was today. Maybe it's because you're playing the Stanley Cup champions and maybe you're a little overhyped or whatever it might be. I can't say. So really, to me, it boiled down to that. It boiled down to stupid penalties, and you gave up two goals where two guys went to one, and you took yourself out of a game where you worked hard to get back into it. You know, you got down 2-0. You worked hard to get back into it, and you made it 2-2. And, you know, now I'm sitting there thinking, all right, this is a good team you're playing. You've already beaten them once. Can you get out of this game with at least a point? You know, can you leave tonight with 4 out of 4 points or 3 out of 4 points? And that's what they got to learn how to start doing is, all right, you got it there. You came back. Get out of here with a point at least. Get it to overtime and take your chances and maybe getting that second point. If you don't, you still get the loser point. The loser, not getting one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League last year. Loser points cost them a playoff spot last year.
Yeah, and not to say any penalty with 7 minutes to go in a one-goal game is good, but it's the type of penalty to me that I would sense to be even more frustrating as the coach, Paul. If Dahlin is breaking up a two-on-one the other way that saves a goal, I guess I can live with it a little more. But from where it was and what he did, like, that wasn't stopping Florida from scoring. That was just undisciplined. And
it just looked like a frustration play.
Yeah. Yeah. The decision there, too, for sure. Well, I mean, one more thing on just kind of what Lindy was saying, Paul. I know, you know, this, whether or not this directly impacts how the Sabres respond or not, fans were frustrated with the last regime and previous regimes about kind of not knowing the accountability factor of the team. Well, Lindy tonight was not shying away. He called out Dahlin for that play. He called out Obey Cabell for his first assignment being missed. He talked about Cousins and Paterka having opportunities to tie the game when they didn't. So if that's what fans are looking for here, Lindy gave it to them tonight. And again, I think it still goes back to the fact that he's thinking, like, man, we still had a chance to beat a very, very good team, the defending champions, on a night where we still didn't even have our A game. So maybe that's also progress, too. The bar is higher. The team didn't play their A game, but they still had an opportunity to win. So maybe that's what's even more annoying to Lindy, is that he's thinking, look, we still were in this with a chance despite not having our best stuff tonight.
No, absolutely. And there were times they did have their best stuff, but there were times, you're playing the champs. You know, it's going to be back and forth. You're not going to dominate from start to finish usually against them. So you got to, take advantage of your chances when you get them. And, Buffalo's not getting outnumbered chances because they won the Stanley Cup for a reason, because they don't give up too many of those. And Florida had a lot of them and took advantage of some of them. And but the penalties, I mean, a lot of the things Lindy Ruff is trying to get through to them, he is getting through to them. But what he's not getting through to them is this penalty thing. They have got to start it was the most penalized team in the National Hockey League. You're not going to win hockey games that way. You're just not. And he's been trying to get that out of them. It has been annoying him. It's been addressed, and they're still doing it. I don't know what more he's got to do, but this team has to figure out it cannot take the penalties it's taking.
Paul Hamilton down in the media room, Florida winning by a score of 5-2. Paul, the month of October is over after the horrid start in Prague and then the opening night loss here in Buffalo to the Kings. 0-3 at that moment with what we had saw. If you would have said they'll finish 4-5-1 for October, I probably would have said yes. I would take that. Now that the first month is in the books, how do you, I guess if you want to make a blanket statement here on 4-5-1 to start?
Well, considering the start, I would take it, but I wouldn't have taken it at 0-0-0 because they talked about how getting off to a fast start. I think it's extremely disappointing what their record is, but considering where they started off with, I mean, they came into this game 4-1-1 in their last six. They're still 4-2-1 in their last seven. That I would sign up for, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They kind of figured it out and straightened it out. They also, in three games against the Dallas Stars and the Florida Panthers, two of the best teams in the National Hockey League, they went 2-1. I'd sign up for that too. Before the season started, you say, boy, you get Florida twice and Dallas once. The way when the Stars came in, they were the second best team in the National Hockey League and the best team defensively, with the best goaltender. And yeah, I would have signed up for that in a heartbeat, to take those three games against those two teams and be 2-1. I think is excellent that they pulled that off too. So there are some things to like about the month. It's just unfortunate for the Sabres. It got off to a bad start. In Europe, they came home, played a really good game against the Kings, but got goalied and didn't get any points out of that one. And then finally, it kicked in. I mean, don't forget, they were the second in the last six games. They were the second leading scoring team in the National Hockey League, number two. So, the goals were going in for them. I don't think they're going to score 4.5 goals per game every single night. There are going to be nights when they're only going to get two goals a game, especially when you're playing the Stanley Cup champions against a good goalie. But they didn't make him be a good goalie in the first period. They made him be a good goalie later on, but not in the first period where he had, eight pedestrian shots. And as I said, maybe they had a scoring chance. I just don't remember one. I didn't write one down in my notes in the first period. So, I just didn't think they got off to a great start. But as the game went on, they had gotten down by two goals. And I thought they did a good job getting themselves back into the hockey game.
5-2 the final. Florida wins. The Sabres finished the first 10 games of the first month with a total of 9 points. And the Sabres won't play again until Friday when they open up November against the New York Islanders. Paul, the next three games, to me, are all important in the sense that they are all teams that probably are in the same mindset as the Sabres. They're thinking they want to be a playoff team. They've been inconsistent here and there, but you have the Islanders, you have the Red Wings, and you have the Senators. Those are three teams that could all be in the mix to be either in or out. So these head-to-head ones, to me, I always feel like these are the bigger ones through the course of the year, because not only are you trying to get points for yourself, but you're trying to take points away from these other teams. So these next three to me kind of feel a little bigger than maybe other portions of the schedule.
Yeah, the last time we sat and said that, well, here comes three winnable games. They went 1-1-1 and didn't play all that well in some of them, Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Chicago.
Right.
So, and here we are again. Absolutely. Three winnable games coming up. And, you know, okay, you lost one. You're not going to win every game, you know. But this is disappointing to them because it's a game that they felt, and I agree with them, they had an excellent opportunity to leave with at least a point, and they didn't. But, okay, you're 4-2-1 in the last seven. Don't brood about it. Get back to practice. Get ready to play and be ready to play these two games on the weekend. And, you know, you'll be in a spot where both goaltenders will play. It's back-to-back. So, you know, they'll see we'll see Levi again, and probably Lukanen plays in the other. I like what because, of course, Lukanen's getting pasted online, and I like what Lindy said in the press conference where he said Lukanen wasn't the guy that got caught up ice. You know, and I agree. He was very annoyed that the inference was being made that Lukanen either lost them the game or wasn't one of the reasons they didn't win the game. Now, on the first outnumbered, I would like him to be more out, and I think that makes it harder on the shooter. I mean, he's got to have that shooter and make a big save on that play. He didn't, but certainly this game wasn't on him.
Yep. Paul, thanks for your work tonight. We will be following you over the next few days with practice, and then we'll see you here Friday night for the Sabres and the Islanders.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Paul Hamilton with us here on our post-game show, 5-2 Florida victorious. Hey, if you're driving around KeyBank Center, just got a tweet from Jack. Says there's a big accident blocking the entrance to the 190 South entrance on Louisiana. So maybe if you're getting to your car or heading that way and you have an opportunity to go a different way, do it.
Yeah, might want to find an alternate route to the 190.
That's right, yeah. All right. Well, if you're sitting in traffic and you're listening to the postgame, we'll try and keep you entertained here for a few more minutes. Thanks for listening. There's
the Sports Equinox, Brian.
It is. All four of the big major four sports are playing tonight. World Series, we're keeping an eye on that up here. Monday Night Football going on. But probably the biggest news from the NHL night is an injury, Pat, that happened tonight in the game in Columbus with Edmonton.
Yeah, this look around the league is brought to you by Figo Car and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. It resulted in a Blue Jackets 6-1 victory over Edmonton, but as you mentioned, the big news of the night, Connor McDavid, just one shift, 37 seconds, left the game with a lower body injury, did not return, and Oiler head coach Chris Knobloch telling the media post-game that Connor McDavid will travel back to Edmonton to have further testing on that lower body injury. Take that for what you will. Midway through the opening period in Vegas, the Golden Knights and an Alex Petrangelo goal lead the Flames 1-0, while the Canucks and Hurricanes tied at 1-1 midway through the first. The Utah Hockey Club leads San Jose 3-1. The Sharks are 0-7-2 beginning the season, 9:22 to go in the second period there. Second stanza in Colorado, where the Blackhawks lead the Avalanche 3-2. A couple of other finals to tell you about tonight. John Tavares, a hat trick, leading the Maple Leafs to a 6-4 win over Winnipeg. The Jets losing for the first time this season in now 9 games. And a Nick Paul overtime winner gives Tampa Bay a 3-2 win over Nashville. Steven Stamkos returning to the franchise that drafted him after signing with Nashville in the offseason, coming in a losing effort. Top of the 7th inning now in New York between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Game 3 of the World Series well underway, with Los Angeles leading 4-0. Freddie Freeman setting the tone in the top of the first with a 2-run home run. Walker Buehler, 5 shutout innings in the start for Los Angeles. Tim Hill taking over the hill for New York, who trail 2-0 in the series. The Dodgers can take a stranglehold over the series with a win tonight. Game 4 scheduled tomorrow in the Bronx as well. And one note from the NFL, where a punt return for a touchdown in the third quarter has given the Steelers a 16-9 lead over the Giants. 106 to go in the third quarter there. Pittsburgh with the ball and trying to extend their lead, which is currently 7, Brian.
The Steelers with a win would match the Bills' record of 6-2. They obviously have not played this season and won't.
They won't, yeah.
Yeah, but I did not have the Steelers being 6-2 on my bingo card here after 8 games.
I agree. I agree with you. The loss by the Ravens on Sunday to the Browns, that's a very formidable AFC North Division. And, you know, can the Steelers keep this up? We'll see. But the Ravens look to be the class of the league. But then, you know, week to week, anything can happen.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh, of course, playing, I think, a third-place schedule. Last year finished third in the division. So, I mean, they're getting other games that the Bills will not. The Bills have the Chiefs and the 49ers and teams like that. The Steelers are going to get team, you know, a little easier of a road here when they play some of those cross-section games from the other division.
Yeah, again, a team like either the Patriots or the Dolphins in your AFC East matchup.
Yeah, that's right. So, anyway, Pittsburgh up on the Giants, as you mentioned, 16-9. That's headed to the fourth, and the Dodgers up 4-0 at Yankee Stadium. Jeez, if LA goes up 3-0.
Yeah, good night, the lights.
I said it on pregame, like my rooting interest is not super strong here, but it's two classic franchises. The World Series, it just looks great. Mm-hmm. I want to watch seven games of it. I don't want it to be over
at
after
four. At least not four, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get some final stats in here, brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. The final shots in the game end up 31-28 in favor of Florida. In the nets, Bobrovsky gets the win with 26 saves. Lukanen takes the loss, 25 saves. Your three stars, Reinhart, star number three, with a goal and an assist. Sam Bennett had a goal and an assist. He's star number two. And Sergei Bobrovsky in nets tonight getting star number one. The attendance at, again, KeyBank Center, 12,906. By the way, at the end of the game, they announced Barkov,
yeah,
as the first star. On the official score sheet, it says Bobrovsky. I think
might be a clerical error.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be Barkov. I think Barkov had the better night for sure. He had the amazing pass to set up Reinhardt, and he scored
in his first game back since injury.
All right, I'm going to use our power and authority here of the radio that we have, whatever that is, to make Barkov the official.
We used to vote on those things.
First star. We used to vote on them. Now the team just kind of picks it. But I would have picked three Panthers tonight anyway. Maybe those three.
I think those three are...
Verhaeghe was very good, too.
Yeah.
I liked him. But being picky. Yeah. I'd probably pick three Panthers tonight, for sure. And also, let's get the power plays in, because the Sabres scored again. Second straight game. One of three for Buffalo. And the Panthers were two of four. Your Dynabraid.com power play update. Powered by Dynabraid Tools. Proudly made here in Buffalo.
It was Sasha Barkov.
Yeah. Okay. The score sheet says Bobrovsky. I don't know. Clerical error, as you mentioned. 16-72. It types in the same, right? Yeah. The numbers. That's right. All right, so the Islanders are next, Pat. And they did not play tonight. They have a record of 3-3-2. 8 points. One behind the Sabres, but they've played two less games than the Sabres so far this year. They definitely will get a chance to play before Buffalo plays on Friday. Let's see. When do the Islanders play next? They do not play tomorrow. They play Wednesday in Columbus. So, and then they'll have Thursday off and then be here Friday night. So they get Columbus Wednesday. So that's the, if you want to pre-scout the Islanders, there's your chance. Wednesday, Islanders and Blue Jackets.
I know that the intensity of their head coach will be on display.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I know I said it to Paul. These next three teams, the Islanders, the Red Wings, and the Senators, yes, I'm not saying you have to go 3-0, but these are the teams that the Sabres, if they're going to make the playoffs, they have to be better than these three. It doesn't mean you have to sweep these three games to make the playoffs, but I think if they're going to make the playoffs, they have to be ahead of all three of these come mid-April.
Yes. Yeah, no doubt. And that's why that game against Detroit last Saturday was so important. You play them twice in about a week span. You got to get at least 3 points at very worst split, because that's one of those teams you think you're going to have to get in front of at some point in this playoff chase to find one of those wild card spots.
Yeah, Detroit also with nine right now. The logjam with 9 points is crazy. You've got Columbus with nine, Detroit with nine, Montreal with nine, Boston with nine, Buffalo with nine. But the Sabres have dropped out of the top three in the Atlantic. They're now amongst a logjam. As I just mentioned, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams, all with 9 points. They're all tied for the second wild card spot. Based on points percentage, the Sabres are actually the lowest out of that group. But the Islanders below the Sabres, that's who they'll play next. The Islanders have 8. And again, join us for the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6 o'clock. Puck drop just after 7 o'clock. We'll have Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray on the call for that right here on the Sabres Radio Network. And with that, we'll put a wrap on things here on our post game from KeyBank Center. If you're on your way home still, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. As we want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. TJ, thank you very much. The crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Colesio, Paul Hamilton. Thank you, gentlemen. Pre-game show host was the Bulldog, our engineer, Tom Maddy, and for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colesio. Thank you for listening. Again, the final here from KeyBank Center, Florida 5, Buffalo 2. We will speak with you Friday with the Sabres and the Islanders right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.